Welcome to the Today's Leader podcast. Building tomorrow's best leaders, today.
Way to go, guys. Way to go. Keep it going. Good job, guys. All right, Paul, I see you. All right, finish off.
My pleasure to welcome to the Today's Leader podcast, Building Tomorrow's Best Leaders Today, the author of the new release, The Imposter Lies Within. Please welcome Cheryl and Jeanette. Welcome to the podcast,
Hello.
Cheryl. It's a pleasure to have you here today. Share with the listeners the Cheryl and Jeanette story.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it's a long one, but let me just give you the abbreviated. I had about under 30 years in the business world, entrepreneur three times. I was a senior executive C-suite for a couple of really large organizations. I've been kind of all the things. And then even in my own businesses, I was helping young companies grow. I was helping mid-sized companies scale. And so I saw all the ins and outs of it. And I was really interested in mindset, organizational health. But I kind of got away from that, working on strategy and marketing. And then, I had an opportunity to kind of step back, which we don't always get. And I did the deep dive into the healing arts. So I became an integrative hypnotherapist. I studied and practiced multiple modalities of hypnotherapy. I'm an NLP master. I got a clinical certification in stress, anxiety, and emotional regulation, an advanced certification in cognitive behavioral neuroscience. And really, you know, all that to say that I'm a holistic practitioner and I like to have more tools in my tool chest because, you know, one size doesn't fit all. There are no silver bullets in my world. So that's kind of what happened. And then I was working with manifestation and I was thinking, you know, I really like to see people succeed. I like to see organizations succeed. I like to see individuals succeed. I like to see people really move the needle. And so there I was working and I was talking about manifestation. I said, there's something wrong here. There's something not working. And I kept doing sort of a gap analysis. Where are the gaps? Where are the cracks in the foundation? And then I looked at imposter syndrome and I thought, wow, this is an umbrella for all those blocks and fears and limiting beliefs, cognitive dissonance that happens when we don't align our actual accomplishments. You see, we don't believe them. We don't see them the way other people do. So I thought, you know, before I start really helping people, you know, jettison into their dream life, we have to fix the foundation. We have to get the foundation for the house in order.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a bit of a winding journey there. But I think the concept of the inner critic and the imposter within or our imposter syndrome is relevant with most people. A lot of people that I've met have got it to an extent. Now, some people don't admit to it, of course. But we see it so often. So how is the book going for you? I know it's only recently released. So how's it going?
Yeah. Well, it's 1 week old yesterday, so it's really recent. It did make bestsellers, so we're happy about that. It's doing really well, and you know, it's really written in a very methodical, understandable way because, you know, there are a lot of deep concepts. There's a lot of neuroscience there, but I bring you through a journey from awareness to insight, and then we get into alignment because that's really what imposter syndrome is. We're out of alignment, really.
Okay.
And then we get integrated. So we get into integration. So it's a journey. It's going really, really well. I mean, I just think, like you said, it's not everyone, although a lot of people think it's everyone. Not everyone experiences imposter syndrome, but such a large percentage of people do. And as you said, Tony, what happens when we really become accomplished is there's more to lose, right?
Yeah.
So we're suppressing these emotions, putting on our confidence suit, trying to push through that fear and do it anyway. And then we do that, we become more accomplished. And then it's like, oh, I don't want people to know that I I actually feel like I'm not good enough for this. I don't want them to know that I feel like maybe I'm not worthy or I'm not deserving, you know, or I'm feeling like a fraud.
Yeah.
So they suppress it even more, and that creates more cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, but it seems to be you start a bit of a cycle happening based on what you were describing then. So, but there are a lot of myths about imposter syndrome, and there are a lot of people that are out there talking about how they can fix it and help people with it. So what are some of the myths that you believe there are about imposter syndrome?
You know, there are eight in the book, and it's the second chapter, because I think it's so important for people to understand what imposter syndrome is, but also what it isn't. What it isn't. And these myths can be very, very damaging. I mean, I'm gonna read you a couple of them right from the book. So some of the costs, and there are a lot of costs in the workplace, but some of the, I would say the broader costs are missed opportunities. So like that opportunity comes up and we procrastinate, or I'll do that tomorrow, or maybe I'm not good enough. We talk ourselves out of it and we lose that opportunity. Yeah. Or we step into the opportunity, but we really don't follow through. Maybe we quit. So there's a lot of opportunity loss because of imposter syndrome. There's burnout. So we end up in chronic stress, you know, the rumination, that the thought loops that happen. And the fear, the heightened fear, and sort of puts us into a chronic state of fear and stress, and that leads to burnout. We get into analysis paralysis. So we end up freezing, right? Anxiety is a big one. Everybody's feeling a lot of anxiety these days. But the anxiety that comes from imposter syndrome is not because of any one event.
Okay.
It's sort of coming from inside, and it's mysterious. It can feel like self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, ultimately we're talking about alienation. We want to belong, but we almost alienate ourselves, or we people please to the point where we're putting ourselves last and we're not setting boundaries, or we're in perfectionist mode where, you know, we just can't celebrate our success. All we see are the flaws.
Yeah.
And there's so many more.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm just getting a bit of a visual as you were speaking there in relation to a lot of this is the internal drain on our own energies, you know, by not leaping in or moving forward with faith that you've got the ability to do it. A lot of that, you know, whether it's analysis paralysis or anything, burnout, a lot of that is about taking too much inwards and maybe overthinking it and not being able to see or punch our way through some of that stuff. And it's interesting when the imposter syndrome really does hit people. And, you know, I've had a number of occasions where I've used, in my corporate career, I used humor when there was actually an opportunity being presented. I didn't, well, at the time, I probably just thought, you know, I'll make light of that because I'm uncomfortable with that potential opportunity. And then funnily enough, the opportunity went away. So I don't know whether that was imposter syndrome or whether that was just, oh my God, something's bigger than me has just been offered and I'm not sure which way to react. So you talked about taking people through a journey in your book. Is there like a step-to-step framework that you take people through?
Well, yes and no. So there are four parts to the book.
Yep.
So the first part is awareness, and there are five chapters in the awareness section. And then the second part is insight. So now we do the deep dive into the subconscious mind. We really look at fear. You know, we really understand what an imposter-free life would look like and why it's possible. And then we get into alignment. So now you understand, you're aware, you've gotten the insight, you've kind of figured out where things are out of alignment. So the next five chapters in the third part are all about alignment.
Okay.
So we look at things like the child within, you know, the inner child healing. We look at imposter syndrome at work. So we really get into all of these different areas. And then the last part is about integration, if that makes sense. Mm. So once we're aligned, we want to integrate the whole self. By the way, Tony, I think, you know, your question just before this one was about myths, and I think I started to talk about the costs of imposter syndrome. So I'm not sure if you'd like me to circle back to some of the myths.
Yeah, absolutely, because,
Yeah, I had just been writing about the cost, and I think that was just...
front and center, you know, and present in your mind. That's okay.
But, you know, the myths... Yeah, one of the biggest myths is that you're actually an imposter. Mm. You know, that's a triggering word. That's a big word, imposter, right? And so, first of all, I want to tell anybody listening that imposter syndrome does not mean you are an imposter. And it doesn't mean other people think you're an imposter. It's that we feel that. It's this internalized anxiety that we feel inside, that other people are going to find out that we're not who they think we are. Another big myth is feel the fear and do it anyway is a cure for imposter syndrome. Mm. And if that were true, then all these accomplished people that have done that, that have felt the fear and done it anyway, wouldn't they be over imposter syndrome?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they say, okay, I've got my accomplishments. It's just a confidence thing. Now I'm competent. I've done it. I'm good. But that's not true. What happens is the more accomplished they are, the more they suppress that disconnect, that feeling of not good enough.
Yeah.
And the stronger it gets. So feel the fear and do it anyway is a really important technique, but it's not a cure.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll give you just one more, but I have quite a few in the book. Another one that's really important is sometimes people will say, imposter syndrome is good for you. I want to have imposter syndrome because that kind of drives me. It pushes me to like do better, do more. And here's why that's so damaging.
Mm.
You see, if you have a little bit of fear, and we all do, or doubt in an adaptive zone, I call it the healthy zone.
Yeah.
This is a term I've coined, and there's a whole chapter on the healthy zone, but almost anything in this adaptive area I call the healthy zone is good for you.
Yeah.
Fear, doubt, comparison, you know, wanting to belong, wanting to be part of the group, whatever that group is. And even there's a form of perfectionism that is healthy in the healthy zone, that's energizing and not depleting. So if fear comes along, which it will, fear is wired into us, and it kicks you in the butt, or you have a little bit of doubt, which is your discernment muscle, that's good. And that can drive you. That can drive you. I'm a little fearful. If I don't get this done, I may not get this other thing, or I may not pay my rent, or whatever that is. It's when it becomes in this maladaptive territory that we end up in chronic fear and chronic stress and, you know, this anxiety that can be crippling and debilitating, and it can lead to burnout and alienation and all the costs that I was talking about. So I want people to be really clear that when you get past imposter syndrome, it doesn't mean that you let go of all fear. That's a myth.
Yeah.
No fear is a myth. You will still have fear. Fear will just become your friend.
Yeah.
You'll be like, okay, I got you. You're on for the ride. You're going to give me a little, you know, a bit of adrenaline and you know, a dopamine hit or two and get me going and get me moving. And doubt, it becomes a friend. It's like, I need a little self-doubt. I don't want to walk out there like I'm a know-it-all. Mm. And I don't want to believe every Tom, Dick, or Harry. But adaptive, adaptive is the key word. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'm thinking about the perception that a lot of people would have in relation to the imposter syndrome. And people will actually get, you know, I've been in audiences where, you know, someone who's confident and successful is up there on stage and they talk about their imposter syndrome. And people just sort of sit there and say, nah, that's just a story. How can you have imposter syndrome? You've got this confidence. You've got this air. And I don't necessarily subscribe to the old fake it till you make it scenario either, because I think that that can potentially be damaging if we're not in the right space to be doing that. So I think that when people look at other people, it's that they can't have imposter syndrome, but I'm the only one that feels like I'm an imposter. Is that something that you encounter where people don't think anyone else gets it except for themselves?
So, you know, it's, I want you to think of it like a dysregulation, right? Yep. We're not regulated. And so we're moving off that center, that healthy zone I'm talking about. And so it's like a pendulum swinging. Our mind swings from, I'm the only one.
Yeah.
Nobody could possibly be feeling this because it's so uncomfortable. And everybody else looks like they've got it together, to everybody else, everybody has it. It's normal, which that's another myth. We shouldn't normalize this. It's normal. Everyone has it. You just have to live with it. Or maybe we'll get better, but it will always come back. And the truth is, if you're in that healthy zone, not everyone has it, but a vast majority of people do. Just because somebody is showing up as confident doesn't mean that they're connected to that internal feeling of confidence. Confidence is a two-sided coin.
Yeah.
There's a confidence in who I am, and there's a confidence in what I do. And I may have put that confidence suit on so often that I can step up and I can do the thing. And I'm not really faking it. Mm. You know, if I step up and I'm talking to you, for example, right now about imposter syndrome, you know, I've written the book, you know, I've done the work, you know, I've spoken a lot of podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. So if I were experiencing imposter syndrome, I could show up very confident, but I could get off this podcast and start with the rumination.
Yeah.
Nobody liked it. What did they think? Mm. He must have thought, you know, he's probably not even going to put it out there. Why would he? You know, we ruminate and we worry and we see every flaw. And, you know, I'm past imposter syndrome right now, but I'll tell you, I have 7 archetypes that I talk about in the book.
Yeah.
It's my framework to understand how it shows up. And I have experienced all 7.
Okay.
All seven in spades. So if somebody's experiencing it, you shouldn't feel bad about yourself. You should just understand that you can get past it. Don't believe anyone else.
Yeah.
If they tell you you can't, you can believe whatever you want. I shouldn't say don't believe it. You believe whatever you want.
Yeah.
But if you'd like to believe it, that let in the possibility that you can get past this, I can show you how to do that.
So you mentioned there's 7 archetypes. So what are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about
you want
those.
Me to tell
yeah,
you?
That'd be great.
Okay, so I won't do the deep dive into these, but I'll just give you the 7 really quickly.
Yeah.
So there's the perfectionist, and there are 3 types of perfectionism that are maladaptive. 3 types, and the same person can have all 3 in varying degrees.
Oh, wow.
There's the people pleaser that has trouble setting boundaries, has trouble setting no, tends to put themselves last in their own life. There's the master that feels like they need just one more degree or one more certification to be good enough. Mm. And then there's the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger has trouble delegating. They have trouble asking for help. They feel like if they ask for help, somebody might see that they're not good enough. So there's a real true fear there. There's the savior that feels like they just need to save the world. You know, they're going to save every project. They're going to save every person. They're going to look for scenarios and even at times create scenarios in order to show up as the savior, because if they can save the day, they may be accepted.
Yeah.
They may belong. They may be good enough. There's the superhero that just overcompensates. They do and they do and they do. They do twice as much as everyone else just to get to the starting gate. And they can never turn it off because they feel like they just need to do so much more to be good enough. And then the last one is one that a lot of people relate to, but they haven't heard of, and it's called the prodigy. And so we all have our zones of genius, the places where we're just really, we kind of go to that expert level very, very quickly. So some people are good in math, some people are artists, some people just have the gift of gab and they connect to people really well and whatever that is. But the prodigy feels like they have to go from zero to hero or beginner to mastery immediately.
Yeah.
Or they'll just quit or won't get in the game because that in-between competency staircase where they're learning and they may slip and fall back or they may not be as good as someone else is so painful they'd just rather not even jump in the ring.
And I think as you went through them, I identified with all of them, so I don't know what that says. So,
it doesn't say anything bad about you. Just so you know, I want you to, I want everyone to know that's listening that if you are walking around with symptoms, your stomach hurts, or you have anxiety, or you just feel like you're tired all the time and you just want to go to sleep and kind of block out the world, or you know, maybe you need a drink, you know, maybe you're using something to kind of numb out, video games, whatever that is. You have this body of symptoms and people just tell you, oh, just do this or just do that. Or, you know what? It's nothing. It's all in your mind. But they don't give you a name. They don't give you a quote unquote diagnosis. You're wandering around without a starting point. So this self-assessment, this framework, it's just a great way to have a starting point to say, okay, this is how it's showing up. Now you have something you can do about it.
That's excellent. That's excellent advice. What about, you mentioned inner child, and I'm sitting here with a podcast that leaders listen to, and, you know, aspiring leaders, emerging leaders, CEOs, and I've got a guest on called Cheryl that's talking about the inner child. So how does all this sort of fit in with, you know, burnout, stress, the imposter syndrome? What is it about the inner child that is so relevant to the imposter syndrome message?
Yeah, well, first of all, we all have our inner child. And the healthy inner child is a beautiful thing because that's our curiosity, that's our creativity, that's our play. I don't care who you are. You know, we all need to play a little bit. We need to laugh. We need to let loose. We need to enjoy life, right? Yep. Not so serious. So, right? Especially those people with really high-powered jobs and a lot of responsibility and a lot on their plate. So we all need that inner child to be with us and work with us. But we all have, to some degree, a wounded inner child. And really, I think of this wounded inner child as almost like children, because we may have been wounded at different ages and different stages. So, you know, could it be our little three-year-old self whose daddy wasn't around? Or daddy came, but then he'd leave, you see? Or it may have been the little five-year-old who just, you know, kept being told to shh, shh, because she thought her voice didn't matter. Or the little seven-year-old whose mommy and daddy were fighting, and all she wanted to do was go out and play, but they were fighting and she thought it was her fault. And so we all have this little inner child, and so many things happen, right? But it's not so much what happened to us, but it's the meaning we gave it. The interpretation we had at that age, and the weight we gave it, and the way it's layered on. So on top of that, you know, our mind looks for evidence to make us right. And so now maybe three-year-old Cheryl said, oh, I feel like I'm not good enough. And then something else happens, and and it's not a cognitive, rational function. It's really an emotional reaction. But there's something else happens. Oh, I'm really not good enough. And I start to layer that on and layer that on and layer that on. You see, and it starts to get weightier, and that creates our beliefs. Right? Not the religious beliefs, but the beliefs about ourselves and the world. Am I good enough or not? Am I worthy or not? Am I deserving or not? Does my voice matter or not? Am I lovable? All of these things.
That makes so much sense. Everyone's got an inner child, and sometimes it might be one that's compounding those concerns you had, or those issues you had as a child, those beliefs you told yourself, the story we tell ourselves, and it compounds. I get that. That's
so much. And you know, Tony, it's interesting because we talk a lot about self-sabotage too. You see, self-sabotage is so mysterious. You think about sabotage. Why would somebody go out and try to purposefully sabotage someone else? And yet we do it to ourselves, and we're not doing it purposefully. What happens with self-sabotage is we have this wounded inner child. And this wounded inner child didn't get something it needed. Maybe that was nurturing or love, a listening ear. And it could be because, you know, they didn't have good parenting, but it could be that they had good parenting and the parent just didn't know, because we do have these interpretations and we're very young. Or it got something it shouldn't have gotten, you know, a harsh word or some sort of abuse. And so that child you know, and the subconscious mind will protect you. So it kind of pushes it down. If it's shocking and it's too much to handle, too traumatic, it will kind of envelop that, push it down into a deep filing cabinet in the recesses of your mind until you're old enough and ready to deal with that. But sometimes that never gets dealt with. And so these emotions get repressed, we're not listened to, and suddenly the child wants to be heard. That's your subconscious mind saying, knock, knock, it's time to express these emotions. And listen, it's never that it's going to suppress forever, it's just delayed. Mm. And so we end up with this sabotaging behavior. And the most important thing to do is to recognize what is really happening.
Yeah.
You know, that radical self-honesty, I'm procrastinating, I'm, you know, I'm walking away from a great relationship, I'm speaking to great employees that I really value, but I'm speaking harshly to them because I don't feel good about something with myself. Mm. You know, and I'm pushing them away where what I really want to do is make them love my company and be great employees with my company and go to work like an intrapreneur, like my company was their company. And yet I'm doing the opposite. Why am I doing that? Well, so much of that is coming from the inner child. The inner child is rebelling somewhere inside. Yeah. And so what I do with people, especially when I'm working one-on-one, usually with leaders, they want some privacy, so they'd rather not say to someone, have anyone know that they're feeling this. So it's very confidential, and I'll work one-on-one with leaders or with celebrities or influencers. And we'll do hypnotherapy if they're open to it, but if they're not, we have other techniques. Not everyone is, but most people are once they understand it. It's very gentle, and it's not like stage hypnosis. And we go in, and we don't ever go into a trauma. We go above it, around it, before it, but we rewrite that story. We understand it from the age of an adult, not of that child. Yeah. And we help that child to express, and we are able to remove or lighten that load to the point where it's not self-sabotaging anymore.
Yeah, excellent. Who's inspired you during your journey to get to where you are now?
You know, my greatest source of inspiration was my father.
Okay.
And he's passed away now. He's been gone for over 20 years. And he died quite young at just 65. But my father was resilient, and he was really positive, very positive. He kept his sense of humor, and he was a go-getter, but he was always very ethical. He was always very, you know, just wanted to do the right thing, the right way, you know, really negotiated with integrity. And I always appreciated that. I just kind of watched it.
Excellent. Excellent. What about failure? So I think we've sort of walked through things like fear and, you know, fear of doing things and self-sabotage. How would you describe your relationship with failure?
So my relationship with failure is different now than it used to be.
Yep.
My relationship with failure used to be very self-critical. I was really, really hard on myself. And how could I be so stupid? My self-talk was really bullying. You know, I never thought I was a bully until I heard the way I speak to myself. And I was just hard. But my relationship with failure today is that I don't actually believe in the word failure. I see it as feedback.
Okay.
I see failure as feedback. I think that we are all going to need to go through that competency staircase in learning. And it's just information. Mm. So I just kind of look at it differently. I'm good with it. I'm just like, okay, what's that supposed to tell me, and what's next? And I stay curious.
Excellent. What about the vision? Where do you want to take this thing that that you're doing? What's the vision for Cheryl?
You know, initially I was really focused on individuals, and I still have a program that I'm launching for individuals that's more of a journey to overcome imposter syndrome, but I've gotten much more connected to the corporate world. because there's so much going on right now in corporations with people coming back to work and with leadership and the changing dynamics. And so there's so much of this, not just imposter syndrome, because that's one way to come in, but even with just stress, anxiety, self-regulation, burnout, these are areas, helping people with their triggers and their fears, and helping organizations to make well-being, have a different conversation about well-being, have a different conversation about mental health, and have a new way that they can structure things so that they can help people. Because I really believe that organizations succeed when people do.
Excellent. A very similar belief from my end as well. I think that for your business to succeed, your people need to succeed. I think that's a great way to put it. Now, you offer a free quiz for people to take on the imposter syndrome. So tell us a little bit about that and other ways that people can connect with you.
Sure. So I'm easy to find if you know how to spell my name. It's Cheryl with an S and Anne Jeanette. I'm sure it's on your notes. And if you go to my website, CherylAnnJeanette.com, you can take a quiz, the imposter syndrome quiz, that will give you a score. And then my book is available on Amazon, I believe Barnes & Noble, a few other places. But The Imposter Lies Within, Silence Your Inner Critic, Tame Your Fear, Unleash Your Badassery is the name of the book. That's available in the Kindle version. It's available for paperback or hardback. And really, you can always reach out to me if you have any questions, if somebody would like to just have a call, just to, you know, talk about what their needs are, either for them personally or for their organization.
Excellent.
Or even both.
I'll make sure all those links are in the show notes, Cheryl. Cheryl, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today, and thank you for investing in today's leaders.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
If you're looking to build better leadership skills, check out the Today's Leader website at todaysleader.com.au. We really are driving a leadership revolution to build tomorrow's best leaders today. Today's Leader is a collective, the mindset to make a difference, the ability to create an impact. Think and Grow Business hosts our Today's Leader Mastermind. Think and Grow Business, where we focus on personal, professional, and business growth. Book your free 30-minute discovery call right from the homepage at thinkandgrowbusiness.com.au. Don't forget, wherever you are standing stronger, braver, and wiser. Don't forget the golden rule. Don't be an arsehole. I'll see you all again next week.